Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. And this is the show where we talk about everything and anything in the world of retirement planning. So we talk about the stock market, we talk about Social Security, estate planning, you name it, we talk about it, and we try to have more fun than a human being should be allowed to have when talking about all of this boring financial stuff. And this week we have a great show lined up for you, but before we go into that, let me introduce myself. I am Ken Morafe, the host of Money Matters with Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I am Senior Advisor at Retirement Planners of America, and I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And Barron's recently named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 independent financial advisors, actually for the seventh consecutive year, which is really mind-boggling. But we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning, so I give all the credit to our beloved and most valued clients, and they are people who are over the age of 50, who are retired, retiring soon. And if that's you, this show is also designed for you. So let me go over with you what we're going to talk about. So first of all, for those of you who've been around for a little while, you may remember that when Bill Clinton ran for president, I believe it was his reelection, their mantra, their rallying cry was, "It's the economy, stupid." Remember that? Meaning that he had to stay focused on the economy because the economy was good. Don't get distracted. Don't do anything. Just keep your eye on "It's the economy, stupid." Well, I change it up a little bit, and I'm calling it "It's the Fed, stupid," which basically means if you want to know where the stock market is going to go, then I believe that you need to be just looking at the Fed, okay? The China stuff, everything else, it's important, but it's background noise. It is the Fed, and I'll explain why. Now, also, we're going to talk this week. I actually got interviewed yesterday morning by the U.S. News and World Report. And I was asked a question, which was very interesting, and I told the reporter, I said, you know what, that is such a great question that I'm actually going to use that on my radio show. Do you mind if I do that? And he was like, no, go ahead, you can do that. So he asked me, the question is, how do you know when you are ready to retire? And I thought, wow, what an interesting question. And so, you know, he kind of got me to ask to, you know, he's asking a bunch of questions. He got me to talk about our clients and, you know, the journey that they go through on the way to actually pulling the trigger and retiring. And I'll tell you quickly that AARP did a survey years ago where they asked, you know, people of a certain age, shall I say, what are the most stressful events in your life? And of course, number one on the list was death of a loved one. Number two was divorce. And you know what number three was? Retirement. Retirement is one of the most stressful, the third most stressful period in most people's lives. So we're going to talk about that and how to help you to go through it, because I want all of you to have a happy retirement and know how to do that. Now, also, we're going to talk this week in our desire to help you to make the right decision when it comes to when and how to take Social Security. So I answer questions regarding when and how. And if you'd like to send me your questions, you can send them to me. My email address is ken@rpoa.com. That stands for Retirement Planners of America. So ken@rpoa.com. Send me your questions and I will endeavor to answer the questions. And so this week we have a very interesting one. And actually what's funny is that it came from a couple. His name is John. Her name is Jane. I mean, how unlikely is that? That to me is like an alias, if I've ever heard one. But anyway, you have a question from John and Jane. And also, one of the things that is foundational to our philosophy of how we manage our clients' money is that, you know, you spent the last 20, 30 years of your life saving, investing, scrimping, you know, putting money into your 401k. You've been doing all that to accumulate money so that you can now retire. And so this money now is going to be what is going to supply you with the income that you need for the rest of your life. And, you know, there's a possibility that you could live more years in retirement than the number of years you worked to accumulate the money that you're now going to retire on. Okay, so you might be retired 30 years or longer, and your money has to support you during all those decades through thick and thin. That's a tall order, and it requires, in my mind, a philosophy of protecting principal is job number one. We all want to grow our investments. We all want that. And it's very important, obviously. But protecting your nest egg, protecting what is going to give you the income for the rest of your life, I think is even more important. So we'll be talking about if you had to take a big loss, when would it be best? Now or 15 years from now? Okay, if a bear market came along and you had a big loss, would it be better to have happen right now, or would it be better to happen 15 years from now when you're older? Okay, so we'll talk about that one later on. Now, you know what? Most shows, Jack, would stop right there. Most shows would say, you know what? If we did just that, we have done more than our listening audience could possibly want from a financial show.
Somebody stop me!
Don't you dare, because on this show, we boldly go where no financial show has gone before, and therefore, at about 10 till, we will have our estate tip of the week. And normally, for the estate tip, what we talk about is how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. But this week, we're going to actually talk about the reverse of that. So we're going to talk about what should you do if you inherit an IRA, either from your spouse or from somebody else. Okay, so we'll have the two different versions of that. One, the spousal inheritance of an IRA, and then the other one is the non-spouse. And doing it correctly will save you thousands of dollars that you would needlessly pay in taxes if you did not do that correctly. So we'll have that for you. Now, before we go any step further, I want to wish everybody, and I hope you all had a very, very happy 4th of July. And, you know, unfortunately, I can't move this show to the 4th of July, so it's belated, but I wish all of you a happy 4th of July. I hope you enjoyed the celebration. And I want to play for you something that we play whenever it is a national holiday that has patriotic significance. So this is my 5-year-old, Aubrey. So, Jack, can you play it?
I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated.
So the "you may be seated" part was she thought that was actually part of the Pledge of Allegiance, because when they said it in class, the teacher would always go through the whole thing and say, "you may be seated." So she thought it was part of that. That 5-year-old is now 24 years old. That was 19 years ago. My, my, my. But yes, I pledge allegiance to the flag. Anyway, let's talk about it's the Fed stupid. You know, if you look at what has happened over the last, I want to say maybe 12, 13, maybe even 15 years with the stock market, you could almost pin it all on what the Fed did. You know, just about everything. The crisis in 2008, the big stock market crash and everything else, a lot of that I put at the feet of the Federal Reserve and how they facilitated people getting very cheap loans and all that kind of stuff. And then if you look at what's happened since then, we've had times where, you know, Greece was about to go under and the Federal Reserve stepped in. And then there was a time when China was going to go under and they had their big deal in 2015 and the Fed stepped in. And then they lower interest rates and the market goes up. They raise interest rates, the market goes down. It's the Fed, stupid. That's where it all sits. Now, right now, we have two big things that are affecting the market, in my opinion. One, of course, is the trade war, the trade tiff, the tariff negotiations, whatever name you want to give it. And that thing, as I described to you on last week's show, I honestly believe that President Trump has no interest in resolving anything with China until the elections. Why? Because if you look at the polls, the vast majority of Americans agree that China needs to be reined in, and they think that there's nobody better to do that than Donald Trump. So why would he's going to run on that? You need me to beat up on the Chinese. They're taking advantage. They're stealing technology. They're currency manipulators and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm the guy. And so he's going to probably run on that. So why would he take the issue off the table? So just as I said, you know, the G20, all they did was say, okay, we're not going to fight as hard as we were, but we're still going to fight, okay? So it's still on the table, hasn't gone away, and I think it's going to come and go and come and go. He's going to keep it alive all through next year. So that's going to become background noise to some degree. The Federal Reserve is where it all sits, in my opinion. Right now, the Fed is, I would give it a very strong probability that they're going to lower interest rates in July, maybe in as late as September. But if you look at history, and I've talked about this before, when the Fed lowers interest rates over the next year, there have been six periods since 1971 where the Federal Reserve has lowered interest rates in a non-recessionary time. And right now, we're, I would say, not in a recession. So if they lower interest rates in July, it'll be the seventh time that they've done that. And in 100% of the previous six, a year later, the stock market, the S&P 500 index was up. And the average is 16.5% during that time. 1 year, it was 40%. So what do I think, therefore, is that if you are not invested, I believe that you should consider it. And if you are invested, then you also, as I've mentioned before, need to make sure that you are diversified according to your risk profile, and also that you have a strategy that if this thing all turns south, and it can do that at any moment, that you have a game plan to address that, an invest and protect strategy like what we have with our firm. So if you are over 50, if you are retired or retiring soon, yes, I think there's a lot of you, then what I encourage you to do is go to our website. It is rpoa.com, rpoa.com. And when you're there, you can sign up for one of our seminars. You can watch webinars. You can listen to podcasts, read our articles on a variety. We try to put everything on there that we can think of that has to do with retirement planning that you can benefit from. And while you're there, you might sign up to visit with one of our retirement planners. All kinds of resources available to you. So RPOA.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how do you know when you are ready to retire. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I've been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years.
Wow!
Wow is right. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And I am senior advisor at Retirement Planners of America. We are a firm that specializes in retirement planning. So if you are over 50, if you are retired or retiring soon, we would love to meet you and see if we can help you. Our website is rpoa.com, rpoa.com. All right, let's talk about how a reporter at U.S. News & World Report, he calls me, I think, about every 3 weeks or so. I think he and I get along. His name's Rodney. And he asked me a question. He wanted to interview me regarding an article he was writing called, How Do You Know When You Are Ready to Retire? You know what? I'm too young to even know what that sound is, Jack. I don't know what that was. What was that thing? Anyway, so how do you know when to retire? And I said, you know, Rodney, that is such a great question. And we talked, you know, and he did the interview, and it's going to be in U.S. News & World Report here in a couple of days or so. But he said, I asked him, I said, you know what, that's such a great question. Do you mind if I use that as a topic on the radio show that I do? Because, you know, I'm basically plagiarizing his idea. And he said, no, please do. Go ahead. So I thought I'd share with you what I said to him and how I answered those questions without actually being interviewed. I'll just go with it. So, first of all, there's a study that AARP did, which asked, you know, what are the most stressful events that people have in their lives? And of course, the death of a loved one is number one by far. It's the most stressful, awful thing. Number two is divorce, which also is pretty awful. And number three, believe it or not, is retirement. So you would think that you've worked all those years, you have put money aside, you've been funding your 401k and all this stuff so that you can retire. You know, we call your retirement your second childhood without parental supervision, right? So you're going to go play. You're going to have fun now. You're going to just go do all the stuff that you've been putting off, and now is the time. But yet it is the most stressful time other than those other two in your life. Why is that? Well, I'll give you the answer. Let's say that you're 10 years out, 5 years out from retirement, and you're talking, for example, let's say you came in and visited with us and you wanted to put together a plan so you could retire. So we're doing all that. The whole exercise, everything that we're doing, we're putting in place and we're planning and we're saying you're going to do this or that in the third and the fourth, those are 85% logical and 15% emotional. Because what are you doing? You're saying, okay, I'm going to have to put an extra $500 a month away, or I'm going to have to, you know, call my HR department and maximize on my pension plan. You know, it's all logical stuff. It's all numbers. It's very quantitative. And about 15% of it is emotional because you're thinking about your retirement. There's some emotion there, but it's a small percentage. And what I've discovered with clients is that, you know, when they reach the point when they can retire, now you have enough money. All right, now go. Go tell them you're going to retire. I have almost had zero clients walk out of my office and go directly to their company and say, okay, I'm retiring now. It's almost all of them. It takes another 6 months for that to happen. And so the question is why? And the reason why is because what just happened is it flipped. The quantitative, the logical, all that was to get you to the point. Now when it's time, all of a sudden, you're like 99% emotional and 1% logical. Because think about it. When you were working, your social network, you know, I mean, you see those people every day, 5 days a week for 8 hours or more, right? Sometimes you see them on the weekends or even in the evenings if you have meetings or whatever. You go out with them, you know, maybe your persona is all tied up. You know, people say, well, what do you do for a living? And so you tell them, you know, I'm a doctor or I'm an executive or whatever it may be. So your whole persona, who you are, is all wrapped up in your work. And then, you know, when you have vacations, the whole thing, it's all wrapped up in that. And all of a sudden, now you're getting ready to say goodbye to all of that. You know, so it's almost like it's a divorce. You know, it's like you know what happens, right? When somebody retires, everybody says, you know, we're going to keep in touch and everything's going to be great. We're going to talk, you know, and all that. It doesn't really happen, does it? I mean, yeah, kind of, but not really. So this is a very, and then you have the thing where you're suddenly going to, if you're married, going to be spending a way more time with your spouse. And maybe that's a good thing and maybe it isn't. So you got a lot of emotions now that come into play. And so, yes, you know, you may have reached the point where financially you can get there, but now you have to get over the emotional get there. So how do you do that? Well, what, in my opinion, what you do and what we counsel our clients to do is start rehearsing your retirement way before the date that you plan on retiring, okay? So don't wait till the last moment. Start thinking about what are you going to do? Are you going to volunteer? You know, we've had people say they want to volunteer at their church or at their community. They want to give back to whatever. Maybe you want to work part-time or maybe you want to move or you want to, you know, improve your golf game or spend more time with your grandchildren or all those kinds, whatever it may be, start thinking about what you're going to do when you retire. Start developing an emotional attachment to the after work life, and that'll help you to lower the emotional attachment to you that you have to the work life. And if you do that, you know what'll happen? Then when you're going to work, all the little irritations, the little things that bother you every day that you kind of put aside, those will start to bother you more and more. And pretty soon you'll get to the point where you'll say, you know what? I don't need this anymore. I am out of here. And that's when you're ready. So long-winded answer to when are you ready to retire? But it's a journey. And if you manage that journey, I think you'll make it a good one. Okay. Now, as I mentioned, our firm, Retirement Planners of America, we do specialize in retirement planning. And so if you are over 50, if you are retired or retiring soon, then I encourage you to go to our website. It's rpoa.com, and which stands for Retirement Planners of America. And when you're there, you have a lot of options. We have a webinar that you can watch on retirement planning. We've got Social Security podcasts and articles on when and how to take Social Security. We've got strategies on how much risk you should take when you're retired, how to get income. We have all kinds of information on the website that I think will benefit you greatly from a learning.
I don't know how to say I thank you, except I thank you.
Well, Frankie, you're welcome. From a learning perspective, I think there's a lot there for you. Now, also, while you're there, you have options as well to sign up to attend one of our seminars. We have seminars near you, if you can hear my voice, most likely. At the seminars, we have our now world-famous oatmeal raisin and chocolate chunk cookies waiting for you. So if you love cookies, you'll love these cookies. They're great. Or you can sign up to visit with one of our retirement planners, and we'll sit down with you. We'll build a plan with you. We'll do it all, and we'll do it at no charge or obligation. And if we can help you, that is fantastic. And if we cannot, we're going to tell you that too. So either way, we'll part friends.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Well, you know what? I think it is too. So I encourage you to go to our website and take advantage of all the resources that we have there available to you. It's rpoa.com. Okay, well, we are going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about Social Security strategies to take to decide when and how you should take Social Security. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I am senior advisor at Retirement Planners of America, and I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients.
I love it!
I do. And since we specialize in retirement planning, our clients are primarily people who are over the age of 50, who are retired or retiring soon. And if that is you, we would love to meet you. We'd love to see if we can help you. Our website is rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. Now, I want to tell you this segment, this portion of the show now is where we talk about Social Security. And I endeavor to answer questions that might help you to learn about the complexities and how to navigate through all that stuff to get to the right answer with regard to your Social Security. If you'd like to send me your questions, you can at Ken at rpoa.com. All right, so that's my email. So I have a question here, and this one, I'm not kidding you, is from John and Jane. Okay, this is not an alias, I don't think. These are not fake people. But anyway, John is 66 currently, and Jane is 65. Now, Jane filed for her benefits when she was 64, and she started getting $871 per month. When she filed, John had not yet filed to collect any of his Social Security, and later, he filed when he turned 65, and he gets, $2,272 per month, okay? So, Jane is getting $871 a month because she started at 64. And John is getting $2,272 because he started getting his benefits at 65. Now, if he'd have waited till he was 66, he would get $2,435. So here's what happened. Jane went to Social Security and asked when she turned 66 to have her benefits adjusted to include the spousal benefit, which would mean that she would get half of his. And she was told that she had to wait until she went there when she was 65. She had to wait until she was 66 to be able to do that. And their question is, this doesn't appear correct. Is that so? So the answer is, it is not correct. One of the problems that happens with Social Security is that the people that you go to talk to, they're not properly trained, in my opinion. It's a sad thing, but Social Security is really complex, and they're not properly trained. So in this example, Jane does not have to wait until she's 66 to get her spousal benefit, which means she can collect her 871, but she can also collect a portion of John's. So if she were to get the spousal add-on, she could get up to 50% of his $2,400, okay, the amount he would have gotten at age 66. So she could go from $871 a month to $1,200, which is a difference of $400-some a month, and she can get that. Now, if she claims it now, you'll get a slightly reduced benefit. But if she waits until she's 66, she'll get the full 50%. So in either case, she is eligible to get that benefit. And Social Security told her wrongly. What they gave her was incorrect. Okay. So my recommendation generally is that you don't go and talk to somebody at Social Security, that you do it online. Because the people that respond online are far better trained than the ones that are in the Social Security Administration offices. And they're good people, don't get me wrong, and I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying that they don't always give you the right answer, okay? So if you and the other thing also is that if you want to file on your spouse, you can, but it is not automatic, okay? You have to file for it. Social Security doesn't have in their computer system, oh, this person just turned a certain age, they can now collect on their spouse's benefit. That doesn't happen, okay? You have to go online and file it yourself. And if you go online and file it yourself, it will be correct there, as opposed to if you talk to a person, they might give you the wrong advice, okay? So word to the wise. If you have questions about Social Security, send them to me at ken@rpoa.com, okay? And I'll endeavor to answer your questions. Now, if you go to the Social Security website, you'll find there that they actually tell you, believe it or not, there are 9,100 different ways to apply for Social Security. So which one is the right one for you? I don't know, and neither do you unless you take the time to understand how Social Security works. Don't make the mistake of just saying, I'm taking it now and I'm doing that. You could be leaving tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table. So if you are in that age where you're looking at when and how to take Social Security, here's what my offer to you. Go to our website, rpoa.com, and click on Meet with an Advisor. And if you do that, then we'll schedule a time to visit with you. We'll go over not just Social Security, although we'll help you with that, but we also want to go over your entire retirement plan. We want to look at your 401k. We want to look at your sources of income, your expenses, your cost of living, and we want to help build for you a game plan to get you into retirement, or if you're already there, to sustain your retirement. And we'll do that at no charge or obligation, and regardless of whether you want to work with us or not, we will part friends.
Oh, thank you, Master.
Well, you're welcome, Jeannie. So you can take advantage of that simply by going to rpoa.com. And when you're there, you know, you also will see we have videos, we have podcasts, we have articles about Social Security, but also about a lot of other things, such as diversifying your portfolio, such as estate planning, you know, leaving to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs your stuff. We have articles and education about lots of retirement topics that I think you will benefit from. And while you're there, you can sign up to meet with one of our advisors. So rpoa.com is our website. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about if you had to take a big loss, when would be best, now or 15 years from now? Which one do you think? Stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I have been a certified financial planner professional now for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years, and all of the ideas that we talk about on this show. These are the very same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And I am senior advisor at Retirement Planners of America. And so we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning. So the people we work with are primarily over 50 who are retired or retiring soon. And if that is you, then we would love to meet you. We'd love to see if we can help you with your retirement planning. And we have two goals for our clients. The first is we want you to have financial peace of mind. And then secondly, we want your money to last as long as you do. So we want you to have money when you are really, really old. I want to support your lifestyle for all those years. And in 2015, Forbes named our financial advisory firm one of the top 100 wealth managers. And we're very proud of that. But yes, but without our clients, we would be nowhere. So we know that. So all you clients, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I want to wish everybody a happy 4th of July weekend. I hope everything is going swimmingly and wonderfully for you and yours and all is well. We're going to talk now about, I guess, our foundational philosophy in terms of managing our clients' money. What is our foundation? Our philosophy is that protecting what you have built is the most important job. So, you know, when you're younger, protecting principal is not as important, and growth is the most important, in my opinion. But as you get closer and closer to your retirement, and once you are retired, now generating growth is important, but it's not as important as protecting what you have. Because the income that you're going to get from your investments is going to come if you have those investments. If you lose them, then you don't have the income. So there's no, you can't grow something if you have half your money. No matter how much you grow it, it couldn't generate the same income that you had before. So protecting principal, and we believe in a philosophy we call invest and protect. And our philosophy enabled us to advise our clients and all of you listening to this show at the time to get out of the stock market in November of 2007 and to stay out for all of 2008 during the stock market crash. So what
you're
does
a
it,
persistent cuss, Pilgrim.
Yes, I am. So here's a question that I want to ask you, dear listener. Now, let's say that you retired and you're 65 years old. And so now you retire and you have a choice. You have a choice of taking a big loss today. And the average bear market is a drop of 37%, according to Ned Davis research. So let's say that you're invested in the markets and you're going to lose 37%. So when is the best time to do that? Okay, you don't have an option of never. That's not one of your answers. This is an A and a B. There's no C. So A is today, I lose the money right now. Or B is I lose the money 15 years from now when I'm 80 years old. All right, which one's better? Well, most people would say, you know, I want to delay it till later, right? I don't want to lose it now. I got all this time. I'd rather lose it now than when I'm old is what most people have when you ask them. They'd say, I'd rather lose it now when I'm 65 than when I'm 80 years old, I lose 37%. That'd be awful, right? Well, actually, if you said that, you'd be wrong. So let me give you the math, okay? So let's say scenario number one is that you actually do take that loss when you are 80 years old, okay? So you retired at 65, and 15 years later, that's when it hits you. And during that whole time, your investments have been growing at let's call it 5%, just to make it a simple example, and we'll say that you've been taking out 4% of your money each year, and we'll say also that you have that there's 3.5% inflation. Okay, so those are the assumptions. So you have $1 million, and you're going to take 5% out. So in that first year, you're going to take $50,000, and that's 5% of the million. And then we're going to say that, or rather, you're going to make $50,000. That's the 5% return. You're going to take out 4%, which is $40,000. So you're left over with $10,000. Okay, and then so at the end of the year, you got $1,010,000. If you started with $1 million, right? You made 50, you took 40 out, you got 10 left over. And now you got $1,010,000. Next year you do the same thing. You got $1,010,000, but now 5% is $50,500. You take out $41,400 because the $40,000 is higher now, and your gain is $9,000. So now you got $1,019,000. So you do that every year. By the time you're 15, you now have $1,016,000. So you've stayed pretty even because you made five, you took out four, so you've grown a little bit, but now you get hit by that 37% loss. So now you get hit by $376,000 loss, but now you still have $500,000 left when you're 80 years old. Now, which is big, but at least you have $500,000. If you did the opposite, if you took the loss today, so in other words, you start today, you have $1 million, and you lose 37%, you just lost that $370,000, and you took out the $40,000 to live on. At the end of your first year, you've got $590,000 left. The next year, guess what? You take $40,000 out again, you're taking almost 10% of your money out now. It's not 4% anymore. And what happens if you do that is that by the time you're 80, you're about out of money. You're about So you're about broke. You literally have about $100,000 left. So in one scenario, you had $500,000. The other one, you have about $100,000 and about 2 years before your money runs out. So the answer to when would you rather take a big loss? It's in the future. It's when you're old. Despite the fact that you may think, when I'm old, I don't want to take a big loss. Taking it now, it's called sequence of returns in the financial planner world. And sequence of returns says taking the loss early, it could be devastating to your retirement.
There's no doubt about it.
I believe there is no doubt. So therefore, protecting your principal, once again, I beat that drum and I will beat it for the rest of my career and beyond, is protect your principal first. Growth is important, income is important, everything's important, but protecting what's going to generate that income first is job number one. Okay. Now, if you are over 50, if you are retired or retiring soon, then I encourage you to go to our seminars. We have seminars near you that are designed for those of you, as I said, who are in that category. And at the seminars, we have our now world famous oatmeal raisin and chocolate chunk cookies waiting for you. So if you go there, bring an appetite. These cookies are 1 inch thick. They're 6 inches in diameter. They're a meal in and of themselves. You will learn about your finances and you'll eat wonderful cookies. Now Gomer, in case you recognize that one. Gomer, what will we have to learn at the seminar? Well, first of all, we'll talk about your magic number. How do you know if you have enough money to retire on? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what are five strategies that you can use to reduce your income taxes. Might be worth going just for that. We'll talk about how to maximize your retirement cash flow. Where do you take your money from first? Your retirement plans at work, your IRAs, your bank accounts, where do you get the money to live on? We'll talk about your 401k. When should you take Social Security? When you're 66, when you're 70, when you're 62? Tons of great info on our website, rpoa.com, rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about inheriting an IRA. What are the things you should know about that? So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And I can tell you, every single one of those years, including this one, has been exciting. There hasn't been a boring one ever. And I am senior advisor at Retirement Planners of America, and we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning. So our clients are primarily people who are over the age of 50, who are retired or retiring soon. And if that is you, then we would love to meet you. We'd love to see if we can help you. Our website is rpoa.com, which is retirementplannersofamerica.com. And Financial Times named our financial advisory firm actually for the third time as one of the top 300 registered investment advisors. And we're very—
To infinity and beyond.
Indeed. And we are very proud of that. But you know what? Without our beloved and most valued clients, we would be nowhere. So all you clients listening, we love you. We thank you. Yes. So let's talk about our estate tip this week. So this is a part of the show where we talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor, and that is called estate planning. And normally that's we talk about that, but this week we're going to talk about you. And if you inherit an IRA, what are your options? If you're a spouse that does, or if you're a non-spouse that does. So let's start off with if you are not a spouse. Okay, so if you're a non-spouse beneficiary of an IRA, then you have two options. One is you have to take it all out by 5 years. And the other is, which is usually the preferred one for us, as if we were to advise you, is to stretch it out over your lifetime. Okay, so what this means is that if you inherit an IRA, you have it go into your name, and now what you can do is you have to take out what are called required minimum distributions. Okay, so they want you to drain the tub. They want you to take it all out and pay taxes on it all, because the taxes, if it's, in most cases, those taxes have never been paid, so they want to collect that. And so you have what's called a stretch IRA, because you can stretch it out over your lifetime. You can take it out over your life expectancy. Now, to be sure that you don't get hit by a penalty, if you're going to stretch it out, if you've inherited an IRA, you have to take that first required distribution prior to December 31st after the year in which the person passed away. Okay? If you don't do that, then you will be subject to penalties. So be sure that if you inherit an IRA, that you take your first required minimum distribution before December 31st of the year following the date in which the person died.
Fascinating.
And very logical, I think. Mr. Spock. Okay, so that's a non-spouse. Now, if you are a spouse and you inherit an IRA, you have two options. One is you can leave the IRA in the name of the decedent. Okay, so the deceased spouse, you can leave it in their name. And the reason why you do that is, again, these required distributions. You're required to take them out when you're 70 and a half. So if the decedent is younger than 70 and a half, then you may want to leave it in their name so that you don't have to take required distributions. On the other hand, if they already were 70 and a half and you're younger, then you may want to roll the IRA into your name. And then because it's in your name, then those required distributions would not start until you turn 70 and a half. Okay? So depending on ages and those kind of things, you can make the determination as to whether you want to leave it in the name of the decedent, and therefore the rules that would have applied to them continue to apply, or you could switch it over and put it in your name, in which case now the rules apply based on your life expectancy.
Cool.
Very cool. Now, it's complicated. You know, in fact, I remember one time I was trying to figure out these rules about the 70 and a half. They are so complicated, I kid you not, that what I did was I drew it all out on this big piece of paper. It was like I got one of those big giant, 3 feet by 4 feet pieces of paper, and I got a marker, and I drew the whole thing out with arrows and everything. And after I looked at it, I was like, oh my gosh, who thought of all this stuff? I mean, those people in the government that dream this stuff up, they are geniuses at complication. I mean, when it comes to complexity, there is nobody like our government that can do it any better. They are just the masters, the masters of the universe of complexity. So, therefore, if you do inherit an IRA, don't do this by yourself, okay? Talk to somebody about what your options are, what you should do before you do anything. Leave it where it is until you've talked to somebody. But be careful because, as I said, December 31st of the following year is your deadline. So here's what I recommend. Go to our website. It's rpoa.com, okay? Retirement Planners of America. While you're there, you can click on Meet with an Advisor. And if you do that, then we'll schedule a time to visit and you can talk with one of our retirement planners. And we'll help you to walk through all those different – it's a maze. You've got Social Security decisions. You've got retirement decisions. You've got IRA decisions. Estate planning decisions. You got lots of stuff that you need to think about, and we want to help walk you through all of that, and we'll do it at no charge or obligation. And if we can help you, that is just fantastic. And if we cannot, we'll tell you that too. Okay? So regardless, no charge, obligation, and we will part friends.
Oh dear, that's too wonderful to be true.
Well, Dorothy, it's not too wonderful because it is true. Now, let me tell you also that if you would like to attend one of our seminars, then on our website, rpoa.com, we have seminars there also for those of you who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. Now, one of the biggest reasons why you want to go to the seminar is because we will have our now world-famous oatmeal raisin and chocolate chunk cookies waiting for you. And folks, if you like oatmeal raisin, you will love these. They're made with those plump, juicy yellow raisins. We put cinnamon in the batter. They are 1 inch thick, 6 inches in diameter. They're a meal in and of themselves. And while you're there, you'll learn about your retirement planning. It's a deal you can find nowhere else. So it's all found at rpoa.com. rpoa.com. Well, you know what? This show is over already. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I've enjoyed doing it for you. We'll see you next week, same time, same channel. And I hope everybody had a great 4th of July weekend. Bye-bye, everybody.
Is this the end?
Of course not. It's only the beginning.
Information presented should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any of the securities mentioned. None of this show's content should be viewed as personalized investment advice. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the strategies presented. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and therefore can be no assurance that any specific investment or strategy will be suitable or profitable for a client's portfolio. The tax and estate planning information offered on this program is general in nature. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Sound effects or anecdotes should not be construed as an endorsement of Ken Morafe or MMWKM Advisors LLC. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability.